In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Christ is in our midst. In this parable this morning, there are three prideful people mentioned in this gospel passage. The first is the lawyer, the second is the priest, and the third is the Levite, and I suppose you say the unspoken fourth prideful person in this parable is the devil himself. Now, these are the kind of people that think very highly of themselves. They think of their wisdom, their wit, their stature, their power. They show off, they flaunt their education, they flaunt their brilliance, and they're so self-absorbed that they forget the reason for their very position. A lawyer and a priest who studies the law, by his very position, should be able to recognize our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the lawyer had the audacity to test Jesus. Now, he didn't ask Jesus this question, "Who is my neighbor?" in order to gather more information for his or for everyone else's spiritual benefit. He asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" in order to test Jesus. Who else tests Jesus but the devil? The devil tested Jesus in order to make him fall and to make him stumble in front of men so that men would not follow him. And this is what this lawyer did here today in testing Jesus and asking this question: who really, Jesus, is my neighbor? He did this in order to make Jesus fall and stumble before men. So Jesus merely answers this question with this parable. Now we have the priest and the Levite. They come across this man that is beaten and left for dead. And they walk straight past the wounded man so as not to be contaminated, so they could stand in the temple and be in the highest position and be great in front of men. And they used the excuse of following the law in order to not show mercy and pity on the man, the poor man that was beaten and robbed and left for dead. We can imagine the priest and the Levite thinking in their perverted way in order to justify the neglect of their fellow man. They must have said in their minds, "The show must go on. I can't be contaminated by this person because I need to go and stand in front of everybody at the temple." So Jesus tells this parable in order to teach us not only how to be a neighbor, and not only who is our neighbor, but also that God, from the very beginning of our fall, has been our neighbor in caring for us all along, because we are all this man who has been beaten and robbed and stripped and left for dead, because he represents all human beings who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, who cannot heal themselves, are left helpless because of their sin, which came from the attacks of the evil one. And we all need mercy, and we all need God, who is ultimately our neighbor. We have all these concepts in the world out there. There's so many concepts about God. Many of them are just childish. But the most mature concept that we can have about who God is that he is our neighbor, and he is kind and merciful. He wants to save us and to heal us. He doesn't want to stomp us under his foot or smash us under his hand. He wants to raise us all up to save all of us, and so that we can be with him forever in the kingdom of heaven. So God has always been our neighbor. Now, when we look at the priest and the Levite, I imagine most of us, if not all of us, can think to ourselves, "Well, I guess I probably would have done the same thing as the priest and the Levite. I thought they were doing the right thing, but maybe I have things wrong. We need our Lord to teach us more, And we need to learn who to imitate. Not to imitate the mindset of the priest and the Levite and the lawyer, but to imitate the desire to do good and the desire to save every single person, to show mercy and pity and compassion to everyone, because that is how God has been to us and how we, out of basic honor, how it should be to our God. Now, who is the hero of this story? To those Jews listening in the first century, to the scribes and the Pharisees and the disciples hearing this in the first century, the Samaritan would have been the least likely hero, because they would have seen Samaritans as being disgusting. Jesus, how could you pick a Samaritan, they would say. Why not a Roman? Why not a tax collector to be the hero of the story? At least a tax collector would have been a Jew with some redeeming characteristics. But instead, Jesus picked a Samaritan who they would have seen as a heretic. They would have said, referred to them as those people over there, those foreigners, those weirdos. It would have been better for Jesus, they might be thinking, to have picked a harlot to have been the hero of the story rather than this Samaritan. Yet it's the Samaritan that turned out to be the hero, the one to be imitated. It was a Samaritan who turned out to act like a real human being, a real neighbor, a genuine man of God. He acts in a better way than the Jews and the priests and the Levites acted in the parable. The Samaritan was eager to help the man in true need. He had no conditions, no preconditions in order to help this man. Now, many of the Jews hearing this parable might have thought in their minds that a neighbor was a fellow Jew in need. A neighbor was a person like me, a family member, a kinsman, a tribesman, a friend. They would have never conceived of perhaps seeing anybody else as being their neighbor. But this Samaritan had no distinction between a Jew and a Gentile. And he went and helped the person because that person was in need. There was no tribalism. He just helped the man because he was a human being in need. So this Samaritan nursed the man, cared for the man, you know, sacrificed for the man, sacrificed his time, sacrificed his effort, sacrificed his seat on his donkey. I'm sure all of us would have loved to have been able to walk and not have to walk and carry this sick person and on our donkey. Now, the fathers of the church say that the fact that the Samaritan put this man on his donkey is a symbol of God's condescension, of coming down to our very needs in order to help us and to nurture us and to save us. And by coming down, elevates us and puts us on the way, on the road to salvation in a way that is easy for us to achieve, because God makes it easy for us to be saved. So he takes this man, he takes him to an inn, he goes out of his way, he takes the time. And so the Samaritan is an icon of Jesus Christ. It's an icon of the incarnation. It's an icon of God's love. And so the Samaritan takes this injured man to an inn. And there the innkeeper takes care of the man as well. Now note, the inn represents the church. The innkeeper represents the apostles and the disciples and the bishops and the priests and the clergy and the laity and the mothers and the fathers and the yayas and the papus and all friends who are here in this church today. And there's something to take note of. It's significant that the innkeeper received the injured man and received the Samaritan. We could have imagined a hotel keeper might have said to the Samaritan, "We don't serve your kind here. And he might have said to the injured person, "We don't deal with injured people here. Go on your way. We don't want it. We don't want you here." The Samaritan was welcomed by the innkeeper. What does that tell us about the church? The church here, the Orthodox Christian Church, and our parish is here to receive every single person that comes, that is wounded and is in great need, and that the Lord wants to save and wants to bring into this family and the fellowship of this Orthodox Church, and to raise all of us up to be with him forever in the kingdom of heaven. A true neighbor, in conclusion, is not one who merely theorizes about the concept of neighborliness. We can imagine this lawyer, when he was in the law school, they had plenty of discussions and arguments about what a neighbor is, what a neighbor isn't, and the many, many, many shades of neighborliness. But Jesus says here, the neighbor is the one who acts. The neighbor is the one who always acts for everybody without discrimination. There's no discrimination in the inn that is the church. We are not rewarded for good thoughts, but for our deeds. We are not rewarded for the sophistry like the lawyer was trying to pull on Jesus, but we are rewarded if we imitate the neighborly Samaritan, and as Jesus says, we go and do likewise.